Chapter 25. When Officer Bernadette Manuelito parked Chee's patrol car at the Lazy Bee Ranch, Elisa Breedlove was standing in the doorway awaiting them, hugging herself against the cold wind. Or was it, Chee thought, against the news he might be bringing? Four Corners weather, she said. Yesterday it was sunny, mild autumn. Today it's winter. She ushered them into the living room, exchanged introductions gracefully with Bernie, expressed the proper dismay at Chee's condition, wished him a quick recovery, and invited them to be seated. I saw the story about you being shot on television, she said. Bad as you look, they made it sound even worse.
Just some cracked ribs, Chee said.
And old Mr. Merryboy being killed? I only met him once, but he was very nice to us. He invited us in and offered to make coffee.
When was that?
Way back in the Dark Ages, she said, when Hal and George would come out for the summer and Eldon and I would go climbing with him.
Is your brother here now? Chee asked. I was hoping to talk to you both.
He was here earlier, but one of the mares got herself tangled up in a fence. He went out to see about her. There's supposed to be a snowstorm moving in, and he wanted to get her into the barn.
Do you expect him back soon?
She's up in the north pasture, Elisa said. But he shouldn't be long unless she's cut so badly he had to go into Mancus and get the vet. Would you two care for something to drink? It's a long drive up here from Shiprock. She served them both coffee, but poured none for herself. She sipped and watched her over the rim, twisting her hands. If she had been one of the three climbers that day, if she had reached the top, she should know what was coming now. He took out the folder of photographs and handed Elisa the one signed with her husband's name. Thanks, she said, and looked at it. Officer Manuelita was watching her, sitting primly on the edge of her chair, cup in saucer, uncharacteristically quiet. It occurred to Chee that she looked like a pretty girl pretending to be a cop. Elisa was frowning at the photograph. It's a picture of the page from the climber's ledger, she said slowly. But where... She dropped the picture on the coffee table, said, Oh, God, in a strangled voice, and covered her face with her hands. Officer Manuelito leaned forward, lips apart. Chee shook his head, signaled silence. Elisa picked up the picture again, stared at it, dropped it to the floor, and sat rigid, her face white. Mrs. Breedlove, Chee said, are you all right? She shook her head, shuddered, composed herself, looked at Chee. This photograph, that's all there was on the page?
Just what you saw.
She bent, picked up the print, looked at it again. And the date. The date. That's what was written?
Just as you see it, she said.
But of course it was. She produced a laugh on the razor edge of hysteria. A silly question, but it's wrong, you know. It should have been... But why... She put her hand over her mouth, dropped her head. The noise the wind was making, rattles, whistles, and howls, filtered through windows and walls and filled the dark room with the sounds of winter. I know the date's wrong, she said. The entry is dated September 30. That's a week after your husband disappeared from Canyon de Chelly. What should... He stopped. Elisa wasn't listening to him. She was lost in her own memory, and that, combined with what the picture had told her, was drawing her to some ghastly conclusion. The handwriting, she said. Have you... But she cut that off, too, pressed her lips together as if to keep them from completing the question. But not soon enough, of course. So she hadn't known what had happened on the summit of Shiprock. Not until moments ago, when the forgery of her husband's signature told her. Told her exactly what? That her husband had died before he'd had a chance to sign. That her husband's death, therefore, must have been pre-planned as well as post-dated.
the pattern Leaphorn had taught him to look for, took its almost final dismal shape and filled Jim Chee with pity. Officer Manuelito was on her feet.
"Mrs. Breedlove, you need to lie down," she said. "You're sick. Let me get you something, some water."
Elisa sagged forward, leaned her forehead against the table. Officer Manuelito hurried into the kitchen.
"We haven't checked the handwriting yet," Chee said. "Can you tell us what that will show?"
Elisa was sobbing now. Bernie emerged from the kitchen, glass of water in one hand, cloth in the other. She gave Chee a "How could you do this?" look and sat next to Elisa, patting her shoulder.
"Take a sip of water," Bernie said. "And you should lie down until you feel better. We can finish this later."
Ramona appeared in the doorway, wrapped in a padded coat, her face red with cold. She watched them anxiously.
"What are you doing to her?" she said. "Go away now and let her rest."
"Oh, God,"
Elisa said, her voice muffled by the table.
"Why did he think he had to do it?"
"Where can I find Eldon?" Chee asked.
Elisa shook her head.
"Does he have a rifle?"
But of course he would have a rifle. Every male over about 12 in the Rocky Mountain West had a rifle.
"Where does he keep it?"
Elisa didn't respond. Chee motioned to Bernie. She left in search of it. Elisa raised her head, wiped her eyes, looked at Chee.
"It was an accident, you know. Hal was always reckless. He wanted to rappel down the cliff. I thought I had talked him out of it, but I guess I hadn't."
"Did you see it happen?"
"I didn't get all the way to the top. I was below, waiting for them to come down."
Chee hesitated. The next question would be crucial, but should he ask it now, with this woman overcome by shock and grief? Any lawyer would tell her not to talk about any of this. But she wouldn't be the one on trial. Bernie reappeared at the doorway, Ramona behind her.
"There's a triple gun rack in the office," she said. "A 12-gauge pump shotgun in the bottom rack and the top two empty."
"Okay," Chee said.
"And in the wastebasket beside the desk there's a 30-06 ammunition box. The top's torn off and it's empty."
Chee nodded and came to his decision. "Mrs. Breedlove, no one climbed the mountain on the date by your husband's name, but on September 18th, three people were seen climbing it. Hal was one of them. You were one. Who was the third?"
"I don't want to talk to you anymore," Elisa said. "I want you to go."
"You don't have to tell us anything," Chee said. "You have the right to remain silent and to call your lawyer if you think you need one. I don't think you've done anything you could be charged with, but you never really know what a prosecuting attorney will decide."
Officer Manuelito cleared her throat.
"And anything you say can be used against you, remember that." "I don't want to say any more."
"That's okay," Chee said. "But I should tell you this. Eldon isn't here, and neither is his rifle, and it looks like he just reloaded it. If we have this figured out right, Eldon is going to know there is just one man left alive who could ruin this for him."
Chee paused, waiting for a response. It didn't come. Elisa sat as if frozen, staring at him.
"It's a man named Amos Nez. Remember him? He was your guide in Canyon du Chelly. Right after Hal's skeleton was found on Shiprock last Halloween, Mr. Nez was riding his horse up the canyon. Someone up on the rim shot him. He wasn't killed, just badly hurt."
Elisa sagged a little with that, looked down at her hands and said,
"I didn't know that."
"With a 30-06 rifle," Chee added.
"What day was it?"
Chee told her. She thought a moment, remembering, slumped a little more.
"If anyone kills Mr. Nez, the charge will be the premeditated murder of a witness. That carries a death penalty."
"He's my brother," Elisa said. "Hal's death was an accident. Sometimes he acted almost like he wanted to die. No thrills, he said, if you didn't take a chance. He fell. When Eldon climbed down to where I was waiting, he looked like he was almost dead himself. He was devastated. He was so shaken he could hardly tell me about it."
She stopped, looking at Chee,
at Bernie, back at Chi. Waiting for our reaction, Chi thought. Waiting for us to give her absolution? No, waiting for us to say we believe what she is telling us so that she can believe it again herself. I think you were driving that Land Rover, Chi said. When police found it abandoned up in Arroyo north of many farms, they said there was a telephone in it. But what good would it have done to call for help? Elisa asked, her voice rising. Hal was dead. He was all broken to pieces on that little ledge. Nobody could bring him back to life again. He was dead.
Was he?
Yes, she shouted. Yes, yes, yes. And now Chi understood why Elisa had been so shocked when she learned the skeleton was intact, with not a bone broken. She didn't want to believe it, refused to believe it still. That made the next question harder to ask. What had Eldon told her of the scene at the top? Had he explained why Hal had started his descent before he signed the book? Why he falsified the register? Had he... Ramona rushed into the room, sat beside Elisa, hugged the woman to her. She glared at Chi. I said, go away now, she said. Get out, no more, no more. She has suffered too much. It's all right, Elisa said. Ramona, when you came in, did you see the Land Rover in the garage? No, Ramona said. Just Eldon's pickup truck. Elisa looked at Chi, sighed, and said, then I guess he didn't go up to see about the mare. He would have taken his truck. Chi picked up his hat and the photographs. He thanked Mrs. Breedlove for the cooperation, apologized for bringing her bad news, and hurried out, with Bernie trotting along behind him. The wind was bitter now and carrying those dry-as-dust first snowflakes that were the forerunners of a storm. I want to get Leaphorn on the radio, he said as Bernie started the engine, and maybe we'll have to make a fast trip to Canyon de Chelly. Bernie was looking back at the house. Do you think she'll be all right? I think so, she said. Ramona will take good care of her. Ramona's pretty shaken up, too, Bernie said. She was crying when she helped me look for the rifle. She said it was always the wrong men with Elisa, always having to take care of them. That Hal was a spoiled baby and Eldon was a bully. She said if it wasn't for Eldon, she'd be married to a good man who wanted to take care of her. She say who? I think it was Tommy Castro, or maybe Castor, something like that. She was crying. Bernie was staring back at the house, looking worried. Bernie, she said, it's starting to snow. It's probably going to be a bad one. Start the car. Go, go, go. You're worried about Amos Nez, Bernie said, starting the engine. We can just call the station at Chinle and have them stop any Land Rover driving in. Bet Mr. Leaphorn already did that. He said he would, she said. But I want to get a message to him about DeMott taking off with his 30-06 loaded. Maybe Eldon won't be driving in. If you can climb 1,700 feet up Shiprock, maybe you can climb down a 600-foot cliff.